they want a change of venue for the trial that we don't know when it will ever take place, or if it will ever take place, or how it will take place, or how many decades from now it will take place. We're talking about the Brian Koberger trial. Attorneys seeking a change of venue now for that, citing the pretrial publicity. We'll go into this. Stacey, what do you think of this? Is a change of venue as powerful as it once was, if we're talking 10, 20 years ago or before social media? It feels to me like something this high profile, especially anywhere in the radius of Moscow, Idaho, is going to be quite a hot topic, as it is in most places in this country.
Absolutely. And, you know, even before social media, we had tabloids, and cases like this were splashed all over the tabloids. Mm-hmm. You'd see them while you're in the checkout line at the grocery store. So, you know, yes, in the age of social media and 24-hour news, we are seeing these stories just plastered all over. I don't know that you can go to a venue where people wouldn't have heard about this trial or heard all of the salacious details before the trial even begins. It's just the way of our world now. So, you know, I understand them asking for a change of venue, but where are you going to go? Namibia?
I kind of look at it like a bomb that goes off. And years ago, you know, a bomb, if it was like a nuclear bomb 50, 60 years ago, it went off. It destroyed a certain radius. And then you get your radiation cloud that goes out after that. But it wasn't like taking out the size of a state. I look at it now, and like social media kind of being the new landscape and how this stuff works, where when the bomb is dropped, if that were to happen today, we're not talking it's taking out a city. We're talking it's taking out a massive piece of a country or a country, and then a radiation cloud that's going to be the size of Australia flying around for that one bomb, depending how many bombs you have going on. And it's going to make that sort of an impact. So whether you're in Moscow or if you're in Boise or wherever it may be, that impact is there. It's not just in that small community and then kind of the other towns know about it. It's just as if it happened in your own backyard. I think if you were in any part of the country in that general area, more or less the rest of the country as well. I'm sure there's a bit more of an impact there where it's, you know, pretty much the ground zero, but at the same point, that ground zero has gotten a lot bigger in the last many years as far as the impact that it's making on the communities around it.
That's a beautiful way to describe it, because that's exactly what's happened here. And, you know, it's procedural to ask for a change of venue in a case like this, but you're just not going to get, I mean, you, even if you went to the smallest town in America, those people have heard about it. You just can't get the quote unquote fair trial you think you might by changing locations. It's just not going to happen.
It's one of many motions that are being brought as they continue to try and drag this out as long as possible. Of course, the defense of Brian Koberger is what I'm talking about. He's, of course, charged with the deaths of the Idaho students in late 2023. They requested that
22.
No, it was 23 when this occurred, I believe.
Wasn't it?
Or was it 22? Was it 22?
It's all blurring together.
We're in 24. You're right. That was 22. Holy shit.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like it was.
You know, I read a piece on this the other day and I said 23 because I thought 22 was inaccurate. But you're right. 23 was last year. That was November of last. And it was the November of the previous year. So that was 2022. Wow.
It's just taking forever. I mean, it's just one thing after another. And what about a right to a speedy trial? I don't feel it happening.
He waived the right to a speedy trial a long time ago.
I'm getting them all confused.
So that's out now. It's pretty much, let's see what kind of magic Ann Taylor can come up with to extend this out, because, you know, time does not heal all wounds, but it's certainly, if you're just kind of a member of the public and not necessarily the parent of someone who was executed by allegedly Brian Koberger, it makes it a little bit less impactful if you're just kind of a juror out there, but still very much an impact. But time is probably your best bet in something like this. She filed a motion this week asserting that her client cannot receive a fair trial in Lado County where the killings took place. Taylor highlighted several key factors that she believes make it impossible to impanel an impartial jury in Lado County. These factors include the extensive and inflammatory pretrial publicity, allegations about Koberger in the media, the small size of the community, the sensationalized nature of the alleged crimes, and the severity of the charges he faces. Why these are going to be there wherever you go, whatever door you walk through, this is all going to be there. A fair and impartial jury cannot be found in Lado County owing to this extensive inflammatory pretrial publicity, allegations made about Mr. Koberger to the public by media that will be inadmissible at his trial, the small size of the community, the salacious nature of the alleged crimes, and the severity of the charges Mr. Koberger faces, Taylor wrote in the motion.
You know, on that count, though, something just popped into my head. Those, maybe I can see, let's move it to three counties over, because the people in this county, everybody knows somebody who was affected by this personally. So maybe taking that personal part of it out of that, maybe that's where a change of venue might have more of an impact. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, kind of. But at the same time, I'm like, look, this happened in this community. This affected this community. This affected these people in this community. Why should these people in this community not be able to be the jury for the crime which took place that affected their community? Why do we have to go to somebody else's?
No, see, that's a valid point, too.
You know, I don't know. I get the argument of it being, you know, people can be a little more biased. I don't know. I think it's going to be bias anywhere you go on this, honestly. The whole part of jury selection is to make sure that you don't have somebody that has a direct relationship with these students or these families. And I would imagine you can probably do that, considering, you know, a lot of these kids weren't from the area. They went to school there. But I don't know. There's a thousand ways one could look at this, and Ann Taylor is doing her job of making this go extremely slow. Lado County Prosecutor Bill Thompson, on the other hand, opposes the request for the change of venue. He argued that Lado County deserves the opportunity to seat a jury since the crimes occurred within his jurisdiction. So he's using my argument. Furthermore, Thompson contended that relocating the trial to another location would have no substantial impact on potential jurors' familiarity with the case. It's already gained national and international attention, drawing attention beyond the borders. It's not Moscow. It's not Lado County. It's everywhere, Thompson stated. So I don't think that a change of venue is going to solve any of these problems. The decision regarding the change of venue request will ultimately rest with Judge John Judge of Idaho's 2nd Judicial District in Lado County. A hearing to evaluate the arguments on both sides is expected to be scheduled, with Taylor requesting that it takes place no earlier than the end of April. Normally you'd think like no sooner, no earlier than the end of April, because we want to just keep putting this down the road. I think that is their strategy, and I think they're going to try and stick to it as much as they possibly can. So who knows what kind of impact that will eventually have on all of this, but some can make the argument that it'll take with this extra time. There's more to go through. They have more time to go through their 50 terabytes of data or whatever. Here's the point I wanted to make. If we're talking about one night, that's really what we're doing. We're talking about one night of what happened. If you were innocent, it's not hard to explain where you were over the course of a couple of hours. If you can't, and you literally need years to come up with the explanation of where the fuck you were for the course of 3 or 4 hours one evening 2 years ago, there's probably a high probability of guilt there, because we have a gazillion devices that we could point at and say, look, this can prove I was not there. You could wrap that up in an hour. Why do you need years to prove this?
Good question.
Unless you can't prove that. Unless you have to come up with some other story as to where you were, which just doesn't make sense. Because the problem is the devices and things that we would look at and say, Okay, no, look, I was not there. See, here's a camera. Here's my phone. I went over here. Check the cameras over that way. That'll show where I was. But we've done that. And there is no evidence that proves he wasn't there. Everything shows he was there. Unless it's just really, really bad coincidences. But maybe, I guess that's probably what they're battling, going, yeah, we have nothing to really show that you weren't there. All we have is stuff that shows that you were there. So we have to have a reason for you to be there. And this may take a few years to come up with some ideas.
I feel like we're going to be in nursing homes by the time this goes to trial. We're going to be like sitting there with our walkers doing this podcast going, oh, I remember this case.
And there he, yeah, I mean, I don't know what they're, I mean, there's a lot of things they can hope for. They can hope for, you know, something for this to get dismissed. Likely not going to happen by any stretch of the imagination, but stranger things have happened. And there's two ways of looking at it. The longer it goes, the more they can come up with reasons that, and the impact of this crime taking place will lessen a bit amongst a potential jury pool. But at the same point, I think it can also be argued that it gives it far more time for the investigation to just make this even more solid than it already is. And technology. This is another thing I thought of the other day, too, with DNA technology. This stuff advances every year a lot, every single year. So if you're going to make the bet that 2 or 3 years from now, the DNA technology hasn't like improved dramatically again, you're an idiot. Because right now they're looking at some of these DNA fingerprints that they have and going, yeah, I mean, it's pretty solid with what we have right now, but the technology, it will get better. And it will. So there may be DNA fingerprints and information that are able to glean off of some of this stuff 2 or 3 years from now that they can't at this moment, which will point the finger even more at Koberger if, in fact, he did do this. So I don't know that time is necessarily on the side of someone as much as it used to be for a strategy of an attorney, a defense attorney, like it is going on right here.
Yeah, it's a really good point. So, just absurd. It's just time. It's just time.
We will see where this goes. 2025 is what's floating around, but I don't know. I think if Ann Taylor had his way or had her way, we'd be looking into like 2030 something.
Sick of the ads?
We are too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now